So thankful for the presentation that Mark and the writer of Hebrews gives us of this Jesus that we've been able to look at. And then in moments like this, we come in greater faith because we have a better understanding of the greatness of our Savior and the one who is able to take authority over sickness, the one who takes authority over storms, the one who takes authority over the devil and demons. This is our glorious, magnificent, reigning King. And so we come with greater faith when we recognize the greatness of our God. And so what assurance we have that He is in control and that He orders our steps. And so we trust Him today. There is a staff prayer meeting this afternoon at 4:15. Everybody is welcome to join if you'd like right here in the lodge, 4:15 this afternoon. I want to just share a few thank yous, and then we're going to have our benediction from the book of Hebrews this morning, very briefly. Brother Paul stepped out, but thank you, Brother Paul, and the camp leadership that has given us opportunity to share and minister here. These days, we consider it a great privilege and are blessed with the opportunity. Thank you, all of you on staff that have served along with us. We have heard and seen just wonderful things, and your not just your work, but your heart. Thank you for sharing the love of Jesus one with another and with us, and with all the guests that have come. You have encouraged us, and you have refreshed us, not just in your labors, but just in conversation and ministry together. Thank you for those that great card that you signed and those sweatshirts that we found in our room last night. After the frenzy of the past couple of days, and especially yesterday, I said I hope it was one of my family members that came into our room and saw everything turned upside down as we're in the middle of coming and going. But we appreciate that. We will remember fondly as we wear them, all of you, and for the guests as well, those of you who've been here, some from our own church and others. And thank you for your openness to the leading of the Lord and participating. It's been a blessing. I hardly had to even encourage people to get up and share and testify and sing, and you were all ready to minister, and so we thank you. I want to thank my mom. She's taken a back seat this week, but her presence is significant, certainly in my life and in my family's life, as she has been ministering directly and closely to all of us over the years, but also in our fellowship and here at camp. And though she feels more comfortable now in the back than in the front, we know that God has been blessing her and blessing through her, my family, my kids here, and that would be John Christian and Sarah, and my wife Diana, who has really she feels like she plays a secondary role, but I said, once I step away from here, you're pretty much it. Everybody loves you. They tolerate me. But she has been a blessing to me, and I know to all of us here at camp, as she shares her heart and love of Jesus. And of course, above all, God, thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. And I feel like we've come with two little fish and a couple loaves of bread and said, Lord, this is our feeble offering. And how can you feed anybody with this? But God is faithful. Amen. And we trust him that he has taken our small offering and that he brings nourishment and life and strength to all of you as we have shared together in his word and in our times of worship. So thank you. This is... sometimes it feels like, will it ever end? just carrying a weight of wanting God to work and a weight and burden for all of you who are here. And it feels like it's one thing, ministry and word and message, and then I feel bad for everyone who has to hear it again, the same voice, and then we come to the last day, and I wake up this morning grieving that we leave, and feeling a great sense of loss when we have to go from here, because of the love that we have experienced here. So so we come to the end of Hebrews. And we'll read the benediction, beginning with verse 20 in chapter 13. And then just a couple of closing comments. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. So a couple of things that he lists here in the very end. May the God of peace leading up to the equipping. But here he before he finishes the prayer, he just reminds us who this God is that we serve, a God of peace, a God that is peacemaking. And that was much of the letter that he wrote. This great high priest, the mediator between God and man, not only is he one that mediates, but he is the one who laid down his very own life as sacrifice and shed his very own blood. So it's through Jesus Christ that we have peace with God. And Isaiah tells us our iniquities have made separation between us. And Hebrews handles that problem, showing us that Jesus Christ has brought us purification for sins and propitiation and sacrifice and forgiveness and the taking away and the bearing of sins and the offering for sin. He is a peacemaking God and he is a peace-giving God. How desperately these abused Christians were going to need the peace of God as they continued their race. This is the God that was brought again from the dead, the one who suffered and the one who died and the one who rose again and the one who brings us into that same fellowship. And so you Hebrew Christians and you here at Pilgrim Camp, do not forget our God is the one who suffered like us and who died, but who rose again victorious, and he brings us into that victory with him. And so this is the encouragement we have, not one who is lost, but one who has won and established his power and sovereignty over his life and also over ours. And then the great shepherd of the sheep. It's kind of a out of nowhere. The writer just puts this in. He's got a whole different picture of who Jesus is throughout this letter. But here at the end, he just brings us this tender picture of this shepherd. What image does it conjure up? for a Jew who held in the highest regard their greatest king, David, they certainly would be familiar. I always consider that if a scripture in the Old Testament is familiar to us as far-removed Gentiles, how precious would those same scripture be to the Jews that centered their whole life around? And so as a Jew looking back at the great king, reminiscing, oh, those were the days when King David ruled, and we lived in peace, and we enjoyed victory in the mighty conqueror that he was, and they longed for those days, which is why so much of scripture tells us there is a greater King David that will sit on a throne. And but in their hearts and understanding and minds, when you would talk about this great shepherd, these Jewish readers would probably think like most of us do about this shepherd who leads us beside still waters and in green pastures, who restores our soul, and probably as we do, or at least I did when I came here and meditated a little bit on these last verses, and I thought, the shepherd, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here's probably something that they'd hold on to. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For he is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, even as I'm struggling with persecution, even as I contemplate giving up and I'm growing weary and tired in the race. My God is with me. I fear no evil. Goodness and mercy follows me, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have the advantage of some of the New Testament writings that these Hebrew Christians didn't have, but we have the finale, the great shepherd of our souls, the one who has come, this Jesus, who guards us and who lays down his life for the sheep. And so what a wonderful promise this shepherd, this great shepherd of the sheep, that sustains us and holds us and leads us. And then he says, he's the one who will equip us. This God, oh, that he would equip you. This is the prayer, the closing prayer of this writer. With every good thing, that you may do his will. Our prayers usually stop with, Lord, give us every good thing. But there's a reason to pray that we might do his will. That he would give us all that is necessary. He doesn't just bring us in and then leave us. It'd be like us, just had a baby and we're all excited and we wrap and bundle him up and get him in the car seat and bring him home for the first time. And you bring that baby into the house, say, okay, you're a little baby. Here's the kitchen. See the refrigerator? If you're ever hungry, just go ahead and help yourself. And now we're going to show you the bathroom. And if you need a shower, just go ahead. And toilets are in here. This is your bedroom. Keep it neat. Make your bed every morning. And we'll all get along fine. Welcome home. And then we kind of lay them down and we go on about our business. Foolishness, silliness. And so is the thought that God would bring us in and give us life and birth us new and then say, okay, you're on your own now. Lots of luck. Hope you survive. But the very same God who has birthed us again and has given us this new life is the one who sustains us and continues to give us life. Life isn't just given at birth. Life is given now when you stick a bottle in the mouth and you protect and you put blankets when they're cold and take them off when they're hot and all of the needs that they just lay there and say, I'm completely dependent upon you. Would you care for me? And of course we do. And of course he does. And so the one, Paul says in Romans, he says, if he has did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things? If he was gracious enough, merciful enough, loving enough to bring us in, how much more to continue to give us that life and sustain us? So God equips us to please him. God is at work, Paul says in Philippians, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He equips us that we might work to his pleasure and to satisfy him in our sacrifice and giving. So I close echoing this prayer of the writer. Like John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. In his ministry, as he poured out his life, he said, I'm nothing better. I'm better than the praise and better than the sweatshirts. Oh, that we would hear along the way, those young people are serving God. Those older folks are still running the race and enduring. There are some that are going into ministry, some that are going into missions, some that have pursued and found God in very deep and real ways and are going on strong in the faith. That brings the joy. That brings the satisfaction, the accomplishment. And that's been the burden that I have carried here this week. And that is Jesus Christ presented in the book of Hebrews, that God would work in us and equip us. That's why we've been in this book, that we would come to a place where we would submit to his kingship, that we would see that Jesus is worth living for and Jesus is worth dying for. That we would draw to him when our hearts are drifting. That we would cry out to him when our hearts are hardening. That we would deal with some of these besetting weights and sins. That God would call us and thrust us into a dark world that is desperate to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we would run this race with endurance and never give up and never go back. That's the prayer of this writer, and it's the prayer of my heart. That we would see Jesus as greater, greater than the prophets, greater than the angels, greater than Moses, greater than the priests, and even Melchizedek, greater covenant, greater sacrifice, greater blood. That we would see him as greater. And then if we could take all of those deep theological, doctrinal realities that this writer gives us, and then maybe make it real practical and end this morning where we started at the back of our outline book that tells us Jesus is better than possessions. Jesus is better than school. Jesus is better than media. Jesus is better than shopping. Jesus is better than vacation. Jesus is better than friends. Jesus is better than success. Jesus is better than approval. Jesus is better than life. Jesus is better than technology. Jesus is better than status. Jesus is better than beauty. Jesus is better than power. Jesus is better than marriage. Jesus is better than family. Jesus is better than travel. Jesus is better than clothes. Jesus is better than love. Jesus is better than movies. Jesus is better than sex. Jesus is better than politics. Jesus is better than fame. Jesus is better than business. Jesus is better than books. Jesus is better than internet. Jesus is better than phone. Jesus is better than car. Jesus is better than jewelry. And maybe in this journey, God has made very clear to you, very specific to your journey right now, there's a blank, and you would add, Jesus is better than. He is better than everything. He is greater than all. And so we thank you, Lord, for the revelation you've given us of yourself that brings us to our knees in humble adoration. There proclaim, our God, how great thou art. Precious Savior. Thank you, Lord. Now I pray, Lord, for each here, that you would hold us and guard us. Lord, give victory. Give grace, Lord, that we might imitate our leaders, that we would take courage from the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. And Lord, that we would run this race with endurance and that we would finish well. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you stand and we'll just sing in closing, How Great Thou Art. Let's lift up the precious name and majesty of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder
you are worthy. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Till we meet again. God bless you. God be with you.